In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, I'd like to welcome you all to our Perseverance Family Conversation. And as always, it's great to be with all of you. And we'd like to start our conversation by inviting Mary to be with us. Mary is the Mother of God. Mary is the Mother of the Church. Mary is the Mother of each and every one of us. And also we invoke Mary in the prayer at the end of the Rosary, which is the Hail Holy Queen. We invoke Mary as our life, our sweetness, and our hope. So on this day, Saturday, which we dedicate to honoring Mary, let us turn and pray the prayer that Mary loves most, and that prayer is the Hail Mary. So together, we'll pray the Hail Mary, also known as the Angelic Salutation. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Now we'd like to invite to be with us our spiritual director. Our spiritual director is the Holy Spirit of God. Holy Spirit has many wonderful titles. He's known as the Paraclete. He's also known as the Gift of Gifts. He's also known as the Sweet Guest of the Soul. Holy Spirit is also known as the Consoler. He's also known as the Counselor. Holy Spirit is also known as the Sanctifier. And also the Holy Spirit is the Interior Master. St. Paul reminds us in these words, he says, we really don't know how to pray as we ought. We really don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Holy Spirit intercedes with ineffable groans so that we can say, Abba. Abba, which means daddy or father. So let's turn to the Holy Spirit and beg the Holy Spirit to give us a lot of light in our intellect and the fire of divine love to burn within the very depths of our souls as we pray the classical prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful and enkindle within us the fire of your divine love. Send forth your Spirit, and they shall be created. Thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of your faithful by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us that by the same Spirit we may be truly wise and ever rejoice in his consolation through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady of Fatima, pray for us. Saint Joseph, pray for us. Saint Michael, pray for us. Saint Gabriel, pray for us. Saint Raphael, pray for us. Saint Ignatius of Loyola, pray for us. Saint Francis Xavier, pray for us. Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska, pray for us. All God's angels and saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. True, my friends, the family that prays together stays together. And a world at prayer is a world at peace. So after praying with all of you, promise that I will pray for you in my Mass today. In the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, I'll place you on the altar right now. The Mass, of course, is the prayer par excellence. There's no greater prayer in the world than the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. I'd like to offer the various intentions. One intention will be I'd like to pray that all of us would be open to the workings of the Holy Spirit. Perhaps this could be our prayer today. This could be our prayer. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come through the heart of Mary. My next intention will be I'd like to pray for all of our family members, for the conversion, the sanctification, and the salvation of our family members. Jesus says, "What does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul?" And then I'd like to pray for the group, very special group of those who will be dying sometime today, that they will die in God's grace and be saved. I'd like to also pray for ourselves, for the grace of all graces, and the grace of all graces for ourselves is to be able to die in the state of grace. You say, Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. May we, all of us, die in the state of grace and be saved. That's our prayer. I have two other special intentions. First is that at 7 p.m. I'll be having an encounter with the marriage group, those who speak English. 7 o'clock, if we could pray for the success of this first meeting of those who speak English. Then I'd like to ask you to pray that because this morning we'll be having the first communion mass of the children who speak Spanish and their parents. So we pray that they would receive our Lord with great love and that they would persevere. I'm purposely going to be celebrating a 3:30 Mass all next week so that the parents can bring their children to the Mass and that they could persevere in receiving Holy Communion, that they can make their novena, receiving Communion 9 days in a row. So that being the case, as always, Saturday is a day in which we honor, in a very special way, we honor Mary. Saturday is a day dedicated to Mary Most Holy. So my Marian reflection today would be this. Let's do all we can to consecrate. Do all we can to consecrate children to Mary. That's right. Do all we can to consecrate children to Mary. So what I'll be doing at the end of the Mass, and I've done this for many years, is that I will, at the end of the Mass, I'll be placing the scapular on them. So they'll be placing the scapular on them. Placing the scapular on them. And the imposition of the scapular is an exterior sign of the fact that we are consecrated to Mary. First thing I do every morning is I wake up and I say my prayer of consecration to Mary. I kiss my scapular and then get ready for my holy hour. And related to the catechism that we're explaining now, we're talking about the first commandment and talking against superstition and idolatry. Some people, non-Catholics, would say this is a type of superstition. It's a type of idolatry, and that's not true. Rather, wearing the scapular is our exterior sign that we want to belong to Mary. People wear uniforms. Soldiers wear uniforms symbolizing that they want to defend their country. Baseball players wear their baseball uniform, indicating what team they're on. Sailors have a special outfit. Children dress up for Holy Communion because they're going to receive God. So the scapular is an external sign that we belong to Mary. That's right, we belong to Mary, we're in the school of Mary, we're in the heart of Mary. So my Marian reflection today for all of you is, hopefully all of you will make a concerted effort to relive your own consecration to Mary. Read up on Mary and try to consecrate children to Mary. We're living in difficult times. So we're living in difficult times, and therefore we should try to do all we possibly can to find refuge in two places. To find refuge in the heart of Jesus and the heart of Mary. Those are very secure refuges, the heart of Jesus and the heart of Mary. So there's our Mary reflection for today, which is Saturday, and Saturday is the day of Mary. We're entering into the riches of the Word of God. Today we have the following. This whole week we've been reading from the book of Kings, and we've gone through the stories of Elijah. Elijah is about to depart from the world, what is called chariots of fire. A great prophet, a great preacher, a great man of God. Yesterday we saw how Elijah encountered God, not in the fire, nor the wind, nor the earthquake, but Elijah encountered God in the gentle breeze, the whispering of the wind. And now we see Elijah, who is about to depart from this world. He'll be taken up into heaven in chariots of fire. There's a beautiful movie, Chariots of Fire. I recommend it. Chariots of Fire. But Elijah wants to make sure that there is secured for the people of God his successor. So today we have the encounter between Elijah and Elisha. You might even say the vocation of Elisha. We find Elisha, he's doing work as a farmer. He's got 10 yoke of oxen. He's working hard in the field. Elijah sees him. He goes up to him and he throws his cloak over him. With the purpose of Elijah giving to Elisha his spirit. Elisha is working with a 12th of the oxen, and he tells Elijah that he first wants to say goodbye to his family members. He takes the oxen and he burns the oxen and gives the food to the people. Then after that, he left all and follows Elijah as his attendant. There's a certain parallel between Moses and Joshua and Elijah and Elisha, because Moses was forming Joshua to take charge as the leader of the Jewish people after Moses died. Same thing will happen with Elijah. After Elijah departs from this world, then he will give Elisha the responsibility. And Elisha will ask a double portion of the spirit of Elijah. So my style in teaching is to give a summary, an interpretation, and an application. An interpretation is, these are spiritual leaders. We have spiritual leaders within our church. That's right. We have spiritual leaders within our church. Let's pray for the Pope. Let's pray for the bishops. Let's pray for the priests. That they would carry out their responsibilities as leaders of the spiritual leaders of the people. And we ourselves, these are two prophets, we ourselves, once we're baptized, then we're anointed with the holy oil. We're anointed as priests and prophets and kings. The other day, it was the feast day of St. Anthony. The preaching of St. Anthony was very simply saying, one of the problems with preachers is they preach the Word of God, but they don't put it into practice. So we're called to preach the Word of God. That's right, we're called to preach the Word of God, but also we're called to put into practice the Word of God. We're called to preach the Word of God, and we're called to put in practice the Word of God. Preach the Word of God, and then to put into practice the Word of God. So there we have it, and Maria says, please, let's pray for Pope, Cardinals, Bishops, and Priests. That we will do. We have the Rosa Mystica, the 13th of every month, and a group of people come together, and they pray especially for priests. That's a good practice. I will give you my stamp of approval. I will give you my stamp of approval. Pray for priests. Pray for priests. Pray for priests. So there we have the first reading, which Elijah calls Elisha. He's going to be preparing him for his mission, to carry on his mission as the great prophet of Israel. As a great prophet of Israel. So the responsorial psalm, my friends, is Psalm 16. And the antiphon is, you are my inheritance, O Lord. You are my inheritance, O Lord. That can be interpreted in various ways. We inherit God in the moment of our baptism. Because with baptism, we receive into our souls the Blessed Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Then the children today will be making their first communion. That is their inheritance. Their inheritance is Christ himself. The body, the blood, the soul, the divinity of Jesus Christ. Then these are temporal inheritances. But we're all aiming We're all aiming, my friends, at receiving our eternal inheritance. That is heaven. We all want to inherit heaven. That's our final goal. That's the final goal of our life. That's the final goal of our perseverance, family, is that we will inherit heaven. May the Blessed Mother, who we honor today, help us to inherit heaven. So we're moving from there to the gospel. So starting this week, we move from the Gospel of St. Mark to the Gospel of St. Matthew. So all this week, we've been reading parts of what is called the Sermon on the Mount. Sermon on the Mount. So we've been perusing through just one of the chapters this week. It's Matthew chapter 5. If you remember, on Monday we started off by Matthew chapter 5, 1 to 12, and we actually went through some of the Beatitudes. Then Jesus reminds us that we're called to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Then Jesus reminds us not to get angry at our brother, not to call our brother rock or fool, because we risk the fires of Gehenna. Then yesterday Jesus gave us a teaching on adultery. He said, you've heard it said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman with lust has already committed adultery within his heart. If your eye is an occasion of sin, pluck it out. Better to enter into eternal life with one eye than into the eternal fire with both eyes. If your hand is an occasion of sin, cut it off. If your foot is an occasion of sin, cut it off. Better to enter into eternal life maimed than to be cast in eternal fire with all your members. Very, very strong language. Very, very strong language, isn't it? Very strong language. So Jesus is demanding of us not simply the exterior actions with respect to purity, but even our hearts. Even our hearts are called to be pure. Jesus says in the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. So I'd like to just give a brief summary of the reading today. Now Jesus moves from the Beatitudes, the assembly of becoming salt and light, controlling our anger, controlling our eyes and our hearts. Now Jesus refers to our speech. In a certain sense, Jesus is challenging us to convert all the different parts of our being. And he'll say later on, be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. He wants our whole being to be converted. We're all called to become saints. That's right, we're all called to become saints. So today Jesus is challenging us to step back and look at the way we speak. And he says, basically, don't make oaths. Avoid making oaths. So an oath that's made properly can be something very pleasing to God. It's an act of religion. It can be something very pleasing to God. But in normal circumstances, we don't make oaths. So we as priests, people that get married, we make vows or promises, but normally we're not going to be saying, I swear to God about this. Try to avoid that. Try to avoid that. Jesus, at the end of the Gospel today, states very bluntly says, when you speak, let your language be as such. Let your yes mean yes. Let your no mean no. These are the words of Christ. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Then Jesus says, anything beyond that is from the evil one. In other words, Jesus is telling us that we have to be honest. We have to be honest. We have to avoid lying. We have to avoid being deceptive. We have to avoid prevarication. We have to avoid stretching the truth. Very importantly, the gift of speech that God has given to us. Always tell the truth. Always tell the truth. Let your yes be yes. Let your no be no. Anything beyond that is from the evil one. So our speech. You know, we used to have the expression when I was brought up and raised, we used to say, I give you my word. Or you can count on me. Two very important expressions of the past that we have to bring them to the present. I give you my word. You can count on me. In other words, if I told you it, I will carry it out. We should be faithful to our commitments and not back down on them. You know, when I was brought up and raised, a family of nine, my mom and dad, having had a big family, had two basic rules. And I'll tell you them. The two basic rules that they had were the following. One would be to obey authority. To obey mom and dad. That's the fourth commandment. Honor your father and your mother. And mom and dad were very strong on this. Because if you do not respect authority, then you're going to have anarchy, confusion. It's going to be chaos. Right? But you have proper authority and obeying proper authority, then you have order. And as Augustine says, peace is the tranquility of order. That was one of the two basic rules that we had. One of the two basic rules were those. The second rule would be to tell the truth. Second rule would be to tell the truth. That means if the members in the family would not be telling the truth, that means you couldn't trust anyone. There is no confidence. You're second guessing to see if that member is telling the truth or not. So they're insistent upon those two rules. Obedience to authority, fourth commandment, honor your mother and your father. And the second would be, always tell the truth. Now, I wouldn't say that we observe these perfectly, but most of the time. So as a result of that, you had order and peace, because as Augustine says, peace is the tranquility of order. And there would be mutual trust, because if I said something, you'll believe what I said was the truth. So those are two pretty good rules. What do you think? So we see how categorically our Lord is just going through different aspects of the human person and how to live morally upright lives. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to build upon this. And outline for us some rules that can help us to put into practice the gospel today, to perfect our speech. So, we really want to perfect our speech. We want to be relied upon. Remember, I give you my word. I give you my word. I give you my word. So those two family rules, I think they're very important. Obey authority. Young parents, do not always abide by that. There was someone that came from another country, the United States, and said, how interesting it is in the United States how the parents obey their children. How interesting it is, United States, how the parents obey their children. Shouldn't be that way. Rather, the children should obey the parents. Now, I'd invite you to read Sirach chapter 3. Sirach chapter 3 is a very powerful chapter on the rule, the authority the parents have over their children. So in the limited space of time I have at my disposition now, I'd like to just go through some basic rules. Basic rules we should have in our art of communication. First thing I'd like to say is the following, and our secretary Sophie can post the primary purpose of communication or speech. Primary purpose of our speaking is this, Sophie, we're called to communicate the truth with love. You like that? Purpose of speech, to communicate the truth with love. I think it's a good definition. Everything in this world has a specific purpose. To communicate the truth with love, that's the purpose of speech. Okay, Sophie has posted that. Thank you very much. So we always want to communicate the truth. We always want to communicate the truth. We don't want to prevaricate or to change it or to lie or to stretch the truth. Communicate the truth with love. I think another very important point is the following. Where do our words come from? True, our words come out of our mouth, through our tongue, true. What we say right now is very important, because if we just talk about words coming out of our mouth, really the origin of our words, and Jesus is the Logos, He's the Word of God the Father, the words really come from the heart. That's right. From both the mind and the heart. Listen to these words. Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus said that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So, if we have a pure heart, if we have a noble heart, if our hearts are filled with the Holy Spirit, then the words that flow from our mouth will be words that will help others. I'd like to quote another proverb that I learned from my father. We learned a lot of really good proverbs from our father. he would say this, and Sophie can possibly post these words too. The thought is the father of the deed. The thought is the father of the deed. I would even say the thought is the father also of the words that we say. The thought is the father of the deed. Now I'm going to say something, perhaps this is going to be obvious, but I think it has to be said. What we put into our eyes, what we put into our mind, is what's going to come out of our lips. In a certain sense, we're kind of like a sponge. Children are like sponges too. We're absorbing, like a sponge is absorbing dirty water, you're going to be wringing out dirty water. If a sponge is receiving clean water, you're going to be wringing out clean water. So we want to be absorbing in our eyes, in our minds, only that which is good and noble and pleasing to God. For that reason, Jesus says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's right. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For that reason, there is an intimate connection between the holy hour we do every day and the words that come out of our mouth. So what that means is, if I start off the day with the Lord in which I'm meditating upon the Word of God, says that Mary, she pondered in her heart. We are called to ponder, to meditate the Word of God in our hearts. If we're doing that, on a daily basis, we are meditating upon the Word of God. What's going to happen? The Word of God is going to go from the page to our eyes, to our mind, to our heart. So we will have the Word of God within our hearts. Then, having the Word of God in our hearts, when we open up our mouths, and we communicate, we express ourselves, we will be communicating the truth with love. There we have it. There we have it. We are all called to communicate the truth. We're called to communicate the truth, and Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Communicate the truth, but anointed with love. So, my friends, So, my friends, we've had a very good conversation today. So I'd like to invite all of you to share our conversation with many of your friends, so that we would consecrate ourselves to Mary, consecrate our children to Mary, that all of us would make a concerted effort in our lives to purify, to sanctify, perfect the way we speak. And I would like to give all of you my priestly blessing. Pray for the children and pray for our marriage group. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless all of you and your children, your families. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us be glad and rejoice in it. Alleluia. 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 God bless you, and I'll see you tomorrow on Sunday.